So throughout the last 12 sermons, we have so far examined the covenant that was being made at Mount Sinai. We shouldn't overlook at the book of Exodus as a plain story of Israelites being saved from Egypt and being led to the land of Canaan. Rather, it has a more significant meaning to it. Through the story of Israelites who are saved by God's miracles, it is showing us the ways in which we're supposed to live as a child of God and showing us the covenants that God made with His people. This all adds up in directing us with what kind of direction that we need to take with our life, with our faith. So through this book, we can now live like God's true people because we're able to understand what it means to live a faithful life in any land or place that God leads us. Unfortunately, many of the Christians today miss the whole point of the book of Exodus, and they kind of smear into this comfortable and routine life that exists in church today, which resembles the pity attitude that God has shown to the church people in Isaiah chapter 1, because all they do is living a religious life according to their thoughts rather than from God's guidance. And this is the reality that the Christianity is faced against today. Therefore, let this be a great opportunity for us to truly know and understand how to live a faithful life as faithful servants of God by closely and meticulously understanding the book of Exodus. Now we're starting the book of Leviticus. In a nutshell, this book is about how the event of the covenant being made with God in accordance with the rules and regulations that God's people must abide by is now being carried out in the tabernacle where God resides with His people in order to guide them. So at the end of Exodus, we're able to see that the tabernacle has been completed. Remember that this is not just an altar where people can worship any kind of God. This is the tabernacle where people can continuously have a relationship with the living God. Thus, this book is truly showing us how to live as His people with specific methods that tell us how to meet Him and to live a genuine life that corresponds with God's values. So in conclusion, the book of Leviticus is dealing with the topics of righteous life, differentiated life, and God's people-like life. Those are the three themes here. And just like how each country has its own laws, God's kingdom also has God's laws, which is explained in Leviticus. Again, just like how we must conform to the Australian law here if we want to live here, and since we are all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore that makes us His children, we must live in accordance with God's laws. This is precisely what the book of Leviticus is dealing with here. So it is a very important book. But at the same time, it could be a very boring book to many of us as we try to read and understand what it means. It is not an over-exaggeration to say the least that Leviticus is the core of the Bible's core book, because starting with the Ten Commandments and to many of the other lessons that come about, God is giving us the standards and boundaries in which we must align them with our standards so that we won't twist or kind of distort His kingdom of heaven or His the values that He wants us to have as we live as Christians. To be more frank, this Leviticus is not just about the rules and regulations, but rather it is the right that is given to us. The right that allows us to live as God's people. Simply put, in order to live in the country where your citizenship belongs, you must understand the rights and privileges and responsibilities that you have as a citizen living in that country. it is the same logic here. There are certain rights and privileges that we could enjoy as God's children, and the responsibilities that we have as Christians, the responsibilities that non-Christians don't have. And we must know them so that we can live as true Christians, as genuine Christians. And the right to be respected as a human being. So Leviticus is talking about, is also talking about the rights to be respected as human beings, the rights to be loved, and the right to live a fair and righteous life. And again, these rights and privileges are so important, because we're all children of God and we're all God's people. And in order to live as God's people, we must know them. Thus, the core lesson in Leviticus is this quote: I'm holy, therefore you to be holy, and differentiate yourselves. The word holy comes from the Hebrew word called kodesh, which means to cut out or to differentiate. Therefore, to be holy is to differentiate ourselves from this dirty and evil things that exist in this world. In other words, if we are holy, we need to live with God's rules and laws and the things that He values, such as love for humans, fairness, and righteousness. This is the very way to differentiate our lives in this earth with non-Christians. So if you truly want to live a distinguished life as God's people, then you must comprehensively understand the book of Leviticus. Leviticus talks about the concepts and important factors that reveal to us of how to live like God's chief priests, regardless of which era we live in. Of course, not everything in Leviticus is relevant to us in 21st century, such as the tradition of sacrificing lambs during Passover, because those things have become completed after Jesus came to this earth. We no longer have to give animal sacrifices. However, the other contents are still quite relevant, such as the Ten Commandments and the concepts that instruct us of how to live like God's people with the values that God wants us to have so that we may live a differentiated life, a distinguished life, so that when anyone looks at the people in this world, they're able to distinguish the Christians from non-Christians. So there's many confusions with contemporary issues these days, such as same-sex marriages. We're very confused in terms of not knowing whether this is a right thing to do or a wrong thing to do. And that all results from us not knowing comprehensively in detail of the messages given to us in Leviticus. If we truly know the messages that God is trying to give us through Leviticus, then we're able to know His standards, and we're able to know that supporting same-sex marriages could be going off the boundaries of God's standards. So in a way, if we know Leviticus very well, we're not going to be very confused with many of the contemporary issues that are going on in this world, because we know what God will be pleased or will not be pleased with. We have already talked many times about this part through the previous lectures. These days, many Christians are confused and they question the relevancy of the commandments that were given thousands of years ago. Disciples, pastors, and theologians are all part of this issue. The first misunderstanding that we commonly have is a statement that Jesus has achieved and fulfilled the commandments. This is a misunderstanding because Jesus didn't fulfill the commandments, but rather it is talking about the fulfillment of the prophecies that were mentioned through the Old Testament. The conclusion is that it is silly to even suggest the idea that we no longer have to comply with the commandments and the laws because Jesus has fulfilled them when He came to this earth. This is not true. What Jesus did was all, what Jesus really did was he just achieved and fulfilled the prophecies that were mentioned throughout the Old Testament. Second common misunderstanding statement is that Jesus has completed the commandments. Here, it is true that Jesus did indeed complete the commandments. However, it is wrong to go on further to think that since Jesus completed the commandments with his blood, we no longer have to cherish and abide by those rules or the laws. Jesus didn't just complete the commandments to abolish them so that we no longer have to follow it. He didn't complete it so that he can just keep it to himself. He completed it so that we may able to know the true intention of God's prophecies. He completed this perfect and flawless commandment so that his people can truly understand the intention of God, so that we may live a blessed life by knowing how to live as his people. God's sovereign power has been completed. Let's look at it in this way. The covenant made in Mount Sinai with animal blood was sort of insecure in a way. But now that we are saved by the blood of Jesus, it is no longer insecure, and it is a 100% completed covenant. This means to us that God is a God who keeps his promise, and through that promise, we're given the rights to live as his holy people. So Jesus came to this earth and made the covenants complete, but he did this in order to eradicate all the misapprehension and contradictions with the other laws or other rules. He basically made it complete only in accordance with God's intention. However, people these days still believe that we no longer have to keep these commandments because Jesus has completed with his blood. If Jesus did make this commandment completed, then his people must rather love and cherish it. Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is a man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." The only reason why Jesus completed the commandments is so that we can know his true heart and intention as we try to live like his people. So let us all claim our rights as his people. So those of us with discerning eyes can see that the laws and commandments are a blessed path that has been prepared by our God. The Korean Christians these days are only concerned with receiving blessings. This has been resulted due to the lack of understanding of the true underlying meaning of the covenant that God made with his people at Mount Sinai. Instead of thinking that the commandments and the laws are a blessed path that us Christians are given the right to walk on, many of us treat them as some kind of an idol. We mistakenly believe that worshiping them as idols can give us blessings. However, the blessings that are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28 will only be granted when we live according to the commandments and laws mentioned in Leviticus. That is, not just worshiping them, but actually understanding and living according to those laws. Leviticus is divided into two parts. First part is about methods in which to maintain the right relationship with God. And the second part is about rules and regulations that guide us to live like God's people in our daily lives. So if we remember the messages in Leviticus and really try to abide by those messages, then we're able to see that we have already earned the eternal life and that we can live a blessed life in this earth like true Christians. In order to enjoy the rights and privileges, we must know our law. So unless learning about these laws mentioned in Leviticus, and therefore not being able to apply them in our lives, then we won't be able to differentiate ourselves from the others. We will eat, enjoy, wear, govern, and cheat like everyone else in this world, and we'll be criticized heavily for not being able to be a better person than the non-Christians in this world. In other words, without understanding the words in Leviticus, we're going to cherish the same values as everyone else in this world. And that's the reality right now. That is precisely the reason why we testify with our own mouths, saying, "Yes, we know God. We know who He is." But we act in a way like we resemble a lot like Lot's wife and daughters, or we act like Sodom and Gomorrah by valuing the earthly things and enjoy the earthly materials. We're basically placing God on the top and treating as if he is just a superficial being that can just give us blessings. And at the same time, we're not living our lives with the attitude that God, as God's people, should truly have, which is to abide by His rules and laws. Then the million-dollar question becomes, why do we act in such manner when we call ourselves His people, His children? Simply put, it is because we do not know His laws and His sovereignty. And because we do not know truly, and we do not truly know Him and know what we individuals truly mean in this world. We don't know our identity here in this world. It seems like we're distracted by so many other things. It could be volunteering at church, or it could be worshiping at church, but we're not really paying attention to the real message, His words. We're not giving a great weight to His words. Instead, we're thinking about something else. We're concentrating more on something else. That might be it. And the Israelites, who were saved by God's grace from Egypt, was also like that. We resemble their behaviors and actions. That is why God has spoken to them in Leviticus 18:3-4 by saying, "You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God." God is doing the best job He can in Leviticus to show us what He expects and how He wants us to live our lives. God is spreading the gospel regarding His sovereignty through this very book. Through this very book, God is letting each one of us know what kind of responsibilities and obligations that we must carry as the follower of Christ. Through this, He is letting us know the blessings that come with it. That is why this book is so essential among the five books that Moses had written. And this is the book in the entire Bible that lays out the standards that we need in our religious lives. And in that case, there is a need for us to correctly and properly interpret the messages in Leviticus. The very reason why the chosen people of Israelites end up failing was because they didn't uphold the values that God has given to them in Mount Sinai. Remember that. Because if we can't correctly understand Leviticus, they were going to have a very difficult time understanding the upcoming history laid out in the Bible. Furthermore, we won't be able to fully understand the genuine or the entire meaning behind Jesus' coming to earth to be sacrificed on the cross. So this is a very scary part for us, for Christians, because just because we speak about how we love God, like the Israelites, this itself will not make God pleased. Rather, He might condemn us for not understanding the messages properly. Now moving on, another frequently asked question is, then do we need to become non-monistic followers, meaning nomistic followers, meaning people who only follow the law? The answer is no. We need to distinguish the difference between the two ideas here. The objective or the purpose of the commandments and laws are different from the idea of believing that we will only be saved if we obey those laws completely. So it is not just about obeying the laws really well. It is about understanding the objective and the purpose of those laws. We have already been saved by His grace, not because we conform to His rules. We're already saved by His grace because Jesus came to this earth to save, to be sacrificed on the cross for us. His blood has saved us from condemnation. And God is clearly telling us that we have already been invited to His kingdom, and that living a life in accordance with His rules and commandments are a path to blessings. In other words, Leviticus is about how can we live a blessing life by knowing and understanding God's commandments. So if we know the purpose of the objective of what God's commandments are trying to achieve here in Leviticus, then there is no reason for us to argue about the degree of conformation of the rules and laws. The degree doesn't matter. As we dive into Leviticus, we'll witness the amazing insights being given to us of how to live a godly life in this world. That is why God has used Moses to make the leaders in Israel to teach these commandments and laws to their people every 7 years. He wanted His people to live a godly life as His people. However, that was only in theory because of the corrupt leaders, the teachings have not been properly given to the people, to the chosen people. And as a result, the chosen people couldn't live a blessed life. Rather, they were condemned and were put to death. Now, as chosen people who have come before the land, before the Lord at this time, us at this church, we must learn and fully understand the underlying lessons in Leviticus so that we may be blessed by living as true people of God. But do you know that over-analyzing or deciphering of the Bible can lead to worse outcomes, as it is not the message that God might not want us to receive? To give you guys a tip here, it is good to keep the interpretation as simple as possible when reading the Bible. If we're able to understand what it means without having to interpret the underlying meaning, then it is better to leave it as that. In other words, it is better to take things literally if it is possible. For example, as we get into Leviticus in detail, we're able to see God explaining to us about offering different kinds of offerings. He asks us to make sacrifice in this way and give offering of grains in this way per se. But we shouldn't overinterpret those meanings, especially when God didn't provide any further explanations to them. In other words, it is quite dangerous to predict rather than to interpret what those messages mean. Remember, Jesus explained to His disciples of many things, even the detailed things. The disciples were asking questions, and Jesus would explain to them what it means. Similarly, God explains the messages to us in the Bible as well. So, at the first stage of reading Leviticus, we should be able to understand the basic or the overall messages without having to overthink it or having to predict what it might mean, what the underlying messages might mean. And we could do that with the Bible itself. We don't need any other outside resources. That being said, we have overinterpreted many times as we read the Bible. We have been made to believe that there were some kind of underlying messages to the things in the Bible, and for God to take the literal meanings of them. And it is good to love the Bible and to think about the messages deeply in a very profound manner, but it is not very good to over-exaggerate on the given messages or over-interpret the given messages. Sometimes we just have to take it in the plain words. Listen to what Peter had to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. We sure don't want to be that person that Peter is describing here. Of course, this doesn't mean the Leviticus doesn't have any underlying messages or parts where we can connect them with other meanings to take it into more whole or complete message. But first, before we can move on to that stage, we must understand the messages literally as they are written. And when we have that firm foundation, then we can start to move on to a more advanced interpretation by using more complex skills or more complex analyzing skills. Historically speaking, the Pharisees were known for their heavy and over-exaggerated interpretations of the words of God. They even had books written about their own interpretations of the words. Some of those books were called Midrash, Mishnah, Gemara, and Talmud. So their original interpretation of interpreting the original text was good. Their intention was good at first, but it is when they started to overdo it by interpreting it over and over again. And when those various interpretations overlapped one another, the original meaning became extinct, and we're left with this messy interpretation. And with the messy interpretation and meanings, they were able to use them in their advantage to put the people in unfair conditions and circumstances. As evinced in chapter 23 of Matthew's, Jesus criticized the Pharisees of their overinterpretation of the meaning because they just relayed the burden to the people and they themselves did not carry the burden. This was a very wrong thing to do, and Jesus did criticize them. This wrong activity still continues and exists today. Maybe it might be even worse. The theologians are supposed to make 10 times more of these overinterpretations than the Pharisees. For example, the book of Romans, which has 16 chapters, has been interpreted into 6 books with 500 pages each, in sum of 3,000 pages just to explain one book in the Bible. In fact, there's so many of these books now, it is impossible for us to have a clear understanding of what the original text really means. So the Bible is like the religious law book. It doesn't just contain the laws that must be kept, but rather it's a book about how to love our brothers and sisters and how to live a holy life as God's people in this world. Think of the Bible as a religious guide map. It will help lead us to a blessed life that we all have the right to walk on. If we look at the Leviticus, we're able to see that it is broadly talking about how to eat, our sexual relationships, various diseases, post-birth stage, the sins that we must get rid of, how to have a good fellowship within the group, how to overcome in situations where conflicts exist, how to treat others, how to overcome financial hardships, and how to love our neighbors. And it's about weak and poor people, how to farm in order to support the weak and the poor, and how to treat handicaps, our attitude towards seniors and foreigners. Also, God even talks about giving some time off to women who just gave birth so that their bodies can recover. God is telling us how to live our lives and giving us the standards to which we must be conscious of as we live our daily lives. This is true, not just in Leviticus, but other parts of the Bible as well, as it is showing us how to live a happy and healthy life as His people. So it's not just the law that we must obey, it's more like an instruction, like a guide map that God is trying to give us or tell us. And this is the privilege and the right that we can enjoy as His people. Not can, but we should enjoy the rights that we have been given, because this is the true way to differentiate and distinguish ourselves from non-Christians in this world. So let's keep this simple and plain message in back of our minds and try to apply them into our lives. There is no need to overthink or overinterpret these words and messages. Just know that these are the privileges and the rights that we must understand and know, and understand that these are the instructions and the guide map that God wants to give us so that we may live a healthy and happy life as true followers of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, think of Leviticus as not a book where we must comply and obey in order to receive blessings, but think of it as a way for us to be happy, because it is basically an instruction that God is giving us that which will make us happy. We have been given the free will, yes, but that doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want with our lives. With the free wills that have been given by God, we have the choice to follow God's guidance by listening and understanding the instructions that He's trying to give us through the messages in Leviticus. And don't think that just because Jesus has came to this earth to complete the commandments or the laws by sacrificing Himself on the cross and washing our sins with His blood, because we love God's instructions so much, because we love Him so much, we want to use our free wills to follow His instructions. Basically, the historical events in the Bible is filled with stories of people who are faithful and unfaithful to God, and the outcomes that follow with each path. So we give a great importance to the events that has taken place in Mount Sinai, because it is an event that truly reveals God's intention and heart. And Jesus Christ is the tangible and real evidence of God's intention and heart, as Jesus is the body of God. God has came to this world in human flesh through His Son, and through Jesus Christ in His short life in this world, we're able to physically witness God's heart and love that He has shown to us in Mount Sinai. And just a reminder, it is not too complicated to follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If it's too complicated, no one in this earth will be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. Let's just try to keep them simple and try to follow the instructions that are given to us in Leviticus. As a final remark, the Bible is a blessing message that has been given to us so that we don't fall into the wrong path. It's a guidance that will keep us on the right path to His kingdom. So let's know this and acknowledge it as a fact as we continue to meditate the words of the Bible. Let us all pray now.